Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Your mother was diagnosed with cancer. The doctor prescribed treatments, and then in order to let her know what was going on, he gave her a map of tribulation?
Yes, that's what I like to call it. Actually, last year was a very hard year for our family. And when she was diagnosed with cancer, first the doctor said, you're going to go through this surgery, and it's going to take so long to recover from that. Then after that, you're going to go to radiation. That's going to take so long. Then after that, you're going to do chemotherapy, and this could be some of the side effects. So it was a long process that had very specific periods, and they were all difficult. But mm-hmm. It helped my mother so much to know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Of course, she would have liked a guarantee the way that the book of Revelation gives it, that when all of this is over, this is the outcome. And of course, she couldn't be given a guarantee of what the outcome was. But she was given exactly what to expect on each stage, and that helps her so much, even in the midst of her suffering, to know that this is what it's supposed to look like. We are very blessed that my mother has recovered, and her outcome is very positive. But the fact that she was given these directions of how to navigate her sufferings was very encouraging.
Yeah, very encouraging for her. What we have in Revelation chapter 6 is a map of tribulation. Jesus was outlining for us the things that would come. We just finished up Revelation 5, where Jesus is pointed out to be the Lamb that was slain. He is the one who fulfills the covenant to us, and the covenant is, I will be your God, you will be my people. But he said, now, between now and when that takes place, these are the things which must happen, and he didn't want us to be surprised by this.
Yes, and as you remember, in chapter 5, which is this wonderful praise, worship scene, Jesus has just taken the scroll that has the mystery of the future or the history of the human race and is sealed. So he's going to start opening one by one the seven seals. And right now in this broadcast, we're going to look at the first six seals. And just to give you a big picture of what they are, obviously we don't have time to go through details, but please read it, chapter 6 completely. We have six of the seven seals.
Verse 1, and I saw the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a loud voice of thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer.
Now, we're going to give you the interpretation that we understand of each one of these seals, and some reasons why we believe that. The first horse, which is a white horse, we believe it represents Christ and the gospel, the resurrected Christ, when he goes out to conquer the world with the gospel. And actually, it's a victorious language, and white in the book of Revelation always represents Christ or the things that Christ provides.
You remember right after the ascension of Jesus, the disciples received power, and on the day of Pentecost, they began spreading the gospel. This is what this is representing, the spread of the gospel throughout the world, the good news about Jesus Christ.
So this white horse goes out in a conquering attitude. It's going to take over the world, per se.
And by the way, the first four seals have horses of different colors. We find an example of this in Zechariah chapter 6. Is another thing you could read in order to see the basis for what is presented here in Revelation 6. So that's the first seal. The second seal is verse 3. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, that men should slay one another, and great sword was given to him.
So the second seal is now the opposition to the gospel. We start getting persecution and bloodshed because of the spreading of the gospel. So we get the red horse, the second horse, as the next period that follows after we start with this conquering with the gospel throughout the world.
And history tells us that there was a great period of persecution for Christians as they began to spread the gospel, and that has been back and forth. We've had a persecution throughout. In fact, it still exists today. The third seal is found in verse 5, and when he had broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come, and I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And as I heard, as it were, in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.
See, here we have now a time of famine, and some have interpreted this also as the way that the gospel was supposed to spread, but some will be against it, and this spiritual famine comes over those that do not accept or reject the gospel.
Right. The black horse, again, is darkness. It represents spiritual darkness, which enters in. But even then, it says there's at least wheat and barley. This is basically a subsistence diet. And it's saying that even in the midst of this darkness, there's still enough available for those who cling to the truth of the gospel.
Yes, it's very interesting that it says don't damage the oil and the wine, because these two symbols remind us, of course, the oil, the Holy Spirit. And the wine is a representation of the redemption that was achieved through Jesus' blood. And these two truths continue throughout the difficult times, throughout the suffering. This is almost like a glimpse of the victory at the end, you know.
Even through the spiritual darkness, the availability exists of Christ's sacrifice for us. We come now to the fourth seal. And when he broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. And I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, or a pale horse in some translations, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. And authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and all the wild beasts of the earth.
Perhaps the easiest way to look at the first four horses is the gospel and the attitude towards the gospel and all the things that that would bring, and the persecution and the bloodshed and the dark ages and opposition to the gospel. That would be the easiest way to take the four first seals, which are four horses, and to remember how we started this, that it was the resurrected Christ enthroned, completely in control, that starts revealing the history of Christianity.
When the gospel is preached with great power, you can expect opposition because Satan is not happy. And so he has a reaction to the preaching of the gospel, the spread of the gospel throughout the world, and his reaction is violent and virulent. Maybe I shouldn't even use that word, but his reaction is violent and it is ugly.
And if we take these seals as a map of tribulations that will end up in the second coming and in the full victory of the redeemed along with Christ, you know, that's why we told you, when you look at these plagues that we sometimes call plagues or tribulations, don't forget that you're standing under the blood of the Lamb that was slain, because that is your security and that is the place where you get strength through your time of tribulation. And so we get to the fifth seal.
And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were killed, even as they had been, should be completed also.
Okay, this is one of my favorite seals, even though it's so grim, and I'm going to tell you why. The fifth seal is the martyrs, those people that are actually dying for their faith. And you have to remember that the book of Revelation is a symbolic book. So these are not souls that are actually speaking. This is their blood crying out to God, symbolically saying, how much longer, O Lord, until you do something about this? And what I like about this seal is that in the book of Revelation, the Christians and those that believe in God are not afraid of the judgment. They are the ones that are asking for the judgment, because judgment is the avenging of the blood of those that have believed and that the world is treating so badly. So here we have this symbolically, these souls asking God, how much longer until you judge the earth and come and avenge our blood?
And this is really a throwback to the Old Testament picture of judgment, because the Old Testament, when the prophets were calling for the end time or for judgment, they were talking about a judgment against their enemies, those who had oppressed them. That was primarily what they were looking at. And here we see that picture again for those who have been martyred, bring justice against those who have persecuted us.
And they again are given white robes like we've seen so far, so that they know that the status is complete through Christ, who is the one riding the white horse at the beginning. And they're going to stay a little while longer until all the martyrs that are going to die will die. And then we get the sixth seal, which is now a prelude to the second coming.
And the sixth seal begins in verse 12 of chapter 6. And it talks about such things as earthquakes and the sun becoming black and the moon like blood and all sorts of other things, the stars falling from the sky. Basically, this is telling us that the time has come at this point for God to do something about the martyrs and their blood. And so this is really the prelude to the second coming.
As we discussed at the beginning, this is the map of tribulation. God has given us a map so that we know exactly what comes after what. And then he tells us, and this is the moment where I intervene and forever change the history of the world.
It all comes back to one point, though, and that is, even though terrible times are coming, the truth is that we stand on the Lamb of God. Chapter 7, verse 17 reminds us, "For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes." This is the thing that brings us comfort. Even though tough times are coming, healing is ahead. The Lamb is there for us.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.